Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to Week 9 of the NFL season. It is time for another edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. For the next hour, we're going to be talking about all things NFL Week 9. Our goal is to help you win your league. So let's go ahead and introduce who's on the show. How's your Loon Fantasy season going? Go ahead, Justin.
Well, as John said, my name is Justin. My Loon Fantasy League team is not doing great. I've only got 2 wins on the year. So I'm going to need a nice little run here at the halfway point in this season to get back into the playoff hunt. However, in the Dynasty League we're all in, I am 6-2, and Christian McCaffrey is about to re-enter my lineup here in a week or two, hopefully.
Go ahead, Lyle.
Oh, the Loon League is treating me much too nice this year, so I'm happy to be in first place. But again, it's a rude ending could be coming very quickly to my season, I think.
Jack.
Yeah. Loon League, John, I'm sitting at 3-5 with 820 points for. I like to point Lyle out because he's 5-3 with 753 points for. I guess I'm glad I'm in the division I'm in because there's still a prayer.
I am stuttering here. I went 4-0 in the Loon League and then 0-4 in the next 4 weeks. But there's hope.
And you're dead even.
Yeah.
925 points for, 925
yeah.
points
oh,
against.
Yeah. Everybody has their best week of their season against me this year. It's just been one of those years. I'm scoring points, and I've got good players. Even though Lyle tried to send me a trade request to get one of them, maybe we'll talk about that later. But anyway, it is what it is. So on the show today, we will have our Trench'em and Bench'em segment for Week 9, free agents that you should be shooting for in our United States Marine Corps waiver wire warrior segment, and then daily fantasy plays for this week. First, though, we got to talk about the injury report and what a mess it is. I'll tell you what, I can't think of a week yet this year where you need to keep your eyes on the injury report tomorrow, who's in and who's out, because there's a lot of names here. Lamar Jackson hasn't practiced all week. He's got back issues and knee issues, but he should be a go. Drake May with a concussion. Jordan Love is a big one because that game is so big, Green Bay versus Detroit. Jordan Love hobbling around with a groin injury last week. Will it be Malik Willis? I don't know. And then Jared Goff also on that same report with an ankle. He should be a go. Running backs that showed up on the injury report this week: Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, Jordan Mason, and Isaac Garendo. But we might have a CMC return here soon. Tyrone Tracy Jr. with a concussion. He's been a nice bright spot for the Giants. Damian Pierce and Kendre Miller. I just say it because the Saints never play this guy. They put him in. Somebody just pats him on the butt for a good play, and he pulls a hamstring. Wide receivers, the big one, Steph Diggs, out for the year. Debo Samuel has a ribs and an oblique injury. Amari Cooper, DJ Moore, Brian Thomas, the only thing left on Jacksonville other than Evan Ingram, he's got a rib injury. Christian Kirk, speaking of the Jacksonville Jaguars, out for the year with a clavicle break. Ouch. Tyler Lockett, Bub Means, who was a popular waiver wire pickup, shows up on this report. As far as tight ends go, Noah Fant, Taysom Hill, but Taysom Hill should be playing this week. George Kittle, but that doesn't matter. They're on a bye. He's got a foot issue, the number one tight end in the league. Let's talk about Thursday night football. Well, where do we start here, Justin? I'll throw it to you. The Texans, are they falling apart? What's going on here? When you lose to the hapless Jets right now, are the Texans done for the year? I mean, or do they need Nico back that bad?
They need Nico back. And it's not because it's Nico Collins. I mean, obviously, Nico Collins will make a huge difference. It's because it's their primary receiver, right? That's going to take a little bit of attention away from Tank Dell, who's been great with the injuries to Diggs and Nico. Joe Mixon is having a fantastic year. Now you put Nico Collins back on the outside, pulling a little bit of coverage, and Mixon's numbers are going to get even better. So I do think they get Nico back. They'll be all right. But, you know, Stroud has not played great this season. But you can tie that to, you know, he didn't have, he hasn't had his full complement of players. He didn't have Mixon for weeks. And then, you know, right before he gets Mixon back, Nico Collins goes down. So, you know, we're halfway through the season and Houston in their defense hasn't really had a chance to get a rhythm going. Every time they kind of do, somebody key goes down with an injury.
The Jets were up against it. The Jets were up against it. They had to win. You know, I mean, that was their season last night, so I think that makes a difference.
I was going to ask you, Jack, what do you think about Justin talking trash about your boy, C.J. Stroud?
No, I'm all about it. I messaged John to let him know I did bench C.J. Stroud before that game in favor of Joe Flacco. I just didn't feel like Stroud was going to do well. And the Jets are a better team than what I think people think. I really do think they're on the up, and they had to win. And I think you'll see that out of the Bengals also this week. So look out for them Bengals. I think they're going to destroy. I think they're playing the Raiders. Doesn't matter, but they got to win this week no matter what.
Lyle, you're a big Aaron Rodgers guy. Are the Jets back or bumping the road? What do you think?
Bumping the road. It's Thursday night football. This is the unpredictability. Well, it's usually bad football. That's the predictable part about Thursday night football. But I think these guys had it right. I mean, New York had to win this game. They were 2-6. They go 2-7. I mean, 17-game schedule, you got 7 losses at the midway point. It is over. As for Houston, I think some of their depth is being exposed. I mean, when they don't have those 3 big receivers, can Stroud get the ball out? He was having trouble when all 3 were healthy, really getting good fantasy numbers. Yeah, they were winning, but his fantasy numbers weren't as good. Now they're going to have to adjust. If they get Nico Collins back, I think that'll be a big help, of course. But they're one big injury away from being a very big question mark as far as like how far they could probably go in the AFC playoffs.
Right on. All right, we'll take our first break here on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Talk some daily fantasy news and strategy. Thanks for having us on. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Just one of the hundreds of times I wish we had tape rolling through the commercial break. Time to talk daily fantasy news and strategy for week 9. And let's kick it off with quarterbacks. Justin, what do you got?
Well, this is kind of a tough week for me for quarterbacks, if I'm being honest. But I'm going to take a flyer. It's not really a flyer because he's pretty much been a top 10 quarterback in fantasy football all season long. I'm going with Bo Nix for Denver. Seems weird against Baltimore, but that Baltimore defense isn't the Baltimore, you know, we've come to know. He's only $5,900. Baltimore's 30th. They really, really, really struggle against the pass. Receivers, tight ends, and quarterbacks. The secondary is not played as well as you would think looking at some of the names on that side of the ball. So I like Nix. He brings some rushing ability as well. So safe floor. You know, and maybe an unexpected, high ceiling. So a little bit of the gut here with Bo Nix as well.
Lyle, what do you got for quarterbacks?
Well, I think Jalen Hurts has probably got the best matchup. And if you want to spend a lot of money, that seems like a wise choice. But if you're going to save some money, Jameis Winston, $5,400.
My man.
Yes, it is the Chargers, and they're an okay defense. But I like Jameis at $5,400 to maybe not replicate what he did last week, which was, 28 fantasy points. But I think he's got an outside shot at getting 20-plus again.
Jack, what do you say for quarterbacks?
Yeah, I agree. Bo Nix is my guy, running with him against Baltimore. $5,900 on DraftKings. If that doesn't work for you, Joe Flacco for $5,700 at Minnesota. Minnesota, technically, their secondary is the worst in the NFL as far as yards given up to wide receivers. So, you know, Joe Flacco likes to air it out. He makes all his receivers better. Might be some interceptions or turnovers. But he'll get 300 and 3 touchdowns.
My ceiling play, if I want to, for GPPs, would probably be Jaden Daniels. But if you want to spend down a little bit, I think this is a great cash play, and it's Geno Smith against the Rams. The total is 48.5 on this game. I think the Seahawks are going to get DK Metcalf back. And as we all know, the Rams are a different team with Nacua and Kupp on the field. I think this is going to be a shootout. Nobody's passing the ball more than the Seattle Seahawks, and I think it's a great value at $5,800. How about running backs, Lyle?
All right, volume play for sure. Josh Jacobs. I know he had 26 catches or touches last week with the questionable Jordan Love at the quarterback position. I can't imagine the Packers are not going to get him at least 20 touches this week. And if he catches a few passes and finds end zone, Josh Jacobs, $6,900.
All right, Jack, what do you got?
Yeah, my big money spin is going to be Bijan Robinson. Dallas coming to Atlanta. I think they're going to just run all over Dallas personally. It should be a pretty high-scoring game on the Atlanta side. And then a value play, Rashad White, $5,800. Tampa Bay going to Kansas. But again, you know, if you watched Tampa Bay last week, Baker Mayfield is still a phenomenal quarterback. Not many people to throw the ball to, though, and Rashad White did real well in the receiving game last week, and I like him to do the same.
Yeah, he runs like he's in mud, but boy, he catches the ball. He's out on the field all the time. Justin?
My value play, which is pretty much what I'm sticking to with the whole lineup, just trying to give you some, you know, low-grade options or price options, is Tracy Jr. for the Giants. John, you mentioned him earlier. Mm-hmm. He's been a nice surprise. You know, there's a little concern with the concussion, but everything I've read up till this recording, to include a quote from Brian Daboll, the head coach, struggle with that name, is that he's likely to play. He's only $5,500. It's a great matchup against Washington. They're at home, and Daniel Jones couldn't throw a bone. So let's just lean on Tracy Jr. in this game.
My play for this week, the big money play, I think the chalkiest play in all formats is Alvin Kamara against the Panthers. Man, that's not even an NFL team anymore.
He's healthy.
Oh, boy, and he's healthy, and Carr is coming back, and everything else. We'll talk about that in a second. Spending a few less dollars, man, the guy who has been just steady Eddie throughout the entire season is James Conner from the Cardinals. Going up against the Bears, I don't think you're going to get a ton of flash here, but the guy just gets the points. He gets the rushes. He's averaging 69.5 rushing yards per contest, and that's not sexy, but he's averaging also 16 carries a game. And in this NFL, this is kind of just, a cash play that can pay off for you is James Conner at $6,600. How about wide receivers, Jack?
Yeah, so my cheap money play, I'm stacking Bo Nix with Cortland Sutton. Last game, he had 11 targets, 8 receptions for 100 yards, ended up putting up 21 fantasy points on DraftKings. He's going to cost you $5,400, so that's on the cheap side. And my high side expense, my most expensive receiver I'm going with, is Devonta Smith. Jacksonville coming to Philly. And then I'm going to throw in somebody that's catching the ball from Flacco against Minnesota. I picked Downs.
Yeah, Downs is – he just always gets open. Justin, wide receivers?
Yeah, I got Downs in there too. Just the Viking secondary has been struggling with, you know, right over the middle of the field, and I just think Downs torches them at some point in this game. I also have McConkey and Calvin Ridley. I'm riding a couple hot hands from last week, so to speak, but they're still very affordable. They both have fantastic matchups. McConkey plays Cleveland. We know Jameis Winston is in the game. By the way, probably want to start that Chargers defense. They're going to give up 30 points, but Winston will throw two or three picks as well. So I like McConkey and Ridley this week, both right around $5,600-$5,700.
If you look at the stats over the last couple of weeks, the Chargers have gone from what they're calling boomer ball, run, 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 run. All of a sudden, Herbert's throwing the ball a lot. McConkey's the real deal. Lyle, what do you got for wide receivers?
Well, we talked about him last week, and he had a very big game. Cedric Tillman, he's still at $4,300. Mm-hmm. Jameis is going to throw it to him. He's had 21 targets the last 2 weeks, so clearly they're going to use him. This is probably the last time he'll be as inexpensive as you can find him. And then Jacoby Myers, I think it's just last man standing for Vegas. They get a really bad Cincinnati defense. Basically, when he's missed two games, but when he's played, he's been targeted 5 or more times every game. A lot of times it's been 8 to 10 targets. So I like Myers as a volume play at $5,300.
Well, I'm going to keep picking on the Panthers. My my number one guy this week is actually Chris Olave. He's $6,100. Derek Carr is coming back this week, and Derek Carr is quoted as saying, "When I come back, I'm going to play like a psycho." Well, when he played earlier this season, it went through Shaheed, Kamara, and Olave, and that was it. And now there's no Shaheed. So I think Olave is a nice play at $6,100. And again, the total on this game is 43.5, and the Saints might get 42 of those points. I just think there's going to be a lot of play there for Olave. He likes to throw it to his main playmakers. How about tight ends, Justin?
I'm going with Kate Otten again. For some reason, he's only $4,500 and he's playing Kansas City, who, yeah, their defense is phenomenal, but they're dead last against tight end in fantasy football, likely because they basically shut everything else down. They're very tough against the run, and you don't see a lot of big plays through the air. So I like Kate Otten just tearing up the middle of the field against Kansas City. The game's in Kansas City on Monday night. So I also get somebody to cheer for on the last game of the week. Double win.
Lyle, tight ends.
Bargain basement, Will Dissly, $3,100. He's gotten 18 targets last 2 weeks. He's actually turned it into 13 catches, too. Like you were saying, the Chargers are starting to throw the ball a little bit more, and if you're looking for a value play at tight end, Disley's your guy.
Jack.
Yeah, Kate Otten at this point is like the chalk. You got to get him in the lineup because, I mean, the dude scored 29 fantasy points last week. But Kyle Pitts, for 400 more, you can get him for 4,900. Again, Dallas coming to Atlanta. He's been, I know last week was National Tight Ends Week, but Kyle Pitts has been a lot more involved in the passing game. He's been getting open. I loved watching him play. So for 4,900, I think he'll get you 12 to 13 fantasy points.
I'm going to pile on the Will Dissly train. I'm with you, Lyle. $3,100. I like it. The Browns gave up a bunch of catches and yards last week to tight ends. I think it's a good matchup. And, yeah, I'm starting to believe in Harbaugh ball, which I can't believe I'm saying Harbaugh and passing in the same sentence. But I like him for $3,100. But I generally like to punt tight end. Let's run through defenses quick. Lyle, what do you got?
No great matchups. But middle of the road kind of play. I like the Patriots. They're playing that Tennessee offense. It's just awful. $3,000, and you get a matchup against one of the worst offenses in football.
Jack.
Yeah, for $100 more, you get the Eagles of Jacksonville coming to town again. They're really depleted, and I think the Eagles kind of got to win one here. I think there's going to be some turnovers on a home game.
Justin, we got.
Oh yeah, I guess. I mean, this is a tough week. There's not great matchups. That's why I'm going to spend a couple extra dollars. I'm going to take the Vikings. They got to get right this week. That defense is, even through the struggles, they still turn the ball over a little bit here. They're $3,200. It's at home on a Sunday night. So I am hoping Flores and that defense are fired up for this game. I'll go with them at $3,200 and be done with it.
The chalk is Saints against the Carolina Panthers. I don't need to keep kicking that horse if you don't have as much money. I like the Bills against Miami. As crazy as that sounds, Bills are at $3,000, but Miami, in the last 13 games those two teams have played, the Bills are 12-1 against Miami, and that's with healthy Tua and everything else. I'm not one bit afraid to throw the Bills out there. They just seem to have the Dolphins' number. All right, we will come back and talk waiver wire with the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. Well, I am on the website right now, GiovannisOfWilmer.com, and taking a look at the menu on there. Man, I first of all, Giovanni's, they've got great specialty pizzas. The hearty meat, the taco pizza, the bacon cheeseburger. How about this one? Garlic dill pickle, right in my wheelhouse. And they've got a ton more of selections on there. You can see them all at Giovanni's.Wilmer, or Giovanni'sOfWilmer.com. Excuse me. They've got wraps. They've got salads. They've got sweets. All this is locally owned, locally available to you at Giovanni'sOfWilmer.com. Of course, pizza and football is a winning combination. Here's the best part. You can go in there. They do take and bake. So you can bring a bunch of them home, and you're ready for game day. Locally owned, again, locally operated. GiovannisOfWilmer.com. Proud sponsor of the Fantasy Football Foursome. Call them at 235-5555. It's time now for the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. Let's talk about who is out there, and let's talk quarterbacks first. Justin, what do you got?
Yo, there's all kinds of options.
Yep.
I'm looking at, like, percent rostered. This is bananas. Let me start with Matt Stafford. It was about this time last year, maybe a little bit later in the year, where Matt Stafford just took off and had a really strong finish to the season. He's got Puka back. He's got Cooper Kupp. Kyren Williams is having a phenomenal year again. And he's available in 72% of leagues. I would go out and get him right now. But also, I'll let you guys go. There's like four or five other quarterbacks that are available in at least 50%+ of leagues.
For sure. Lyle quarterbacks.
But I like Stafford, and I like his schedule going forward. One thing to really kind of look at, too, is it's about time to start thinking about playoff matchups, depending on what your record is.
Yep, for sure. Lyle, what do you got?
Yeah, again, there's so many strange ones out there that Sam Darnold, I know he's cooled off a little bit, but he's still available in about 50% of leagues. The guy I'm looking for is Joe Flacco. He's available in 93% of leagues. He's going to get the Vikings, which, yes, they do turn over the ball, but they also have been giving up loads of yards. They're one of the easiest teams in the league to throw against. And I expect a game script where Joe's going to be throwing the ball 35, 40 times again this week.
Jack, what do you got?
Well, it doesn't help you this week. I'll give you one that does. If you want to pick up Derek Carr, obviously, John, talk about going against the Panthers. Guy threw for 203 touchdowns when they played in week one. But if you're good this week, but you're looking for a backup or curious going forward, maybe you got CJ Stroud, don't be afraid to pick up Russell Wilson. He plays Baltimore twice coming up. He's got Cincy, Cleveland. I mean, some of these teams give up a lot of yards. And as much as I don't love that he's playing great, Russell Wilson's looked pretty good.
My guy, if I had to pick one on this list, would be Justin Herbert at 57% availability. And it's just what I talked about in the last segment, that they're starting to throw the ball more in San Diego. Harbaugh is in love with this guy, and he should be. He's a good quarterback. But he had 279 yards last week. He had two touchdowns, 24 fantasy points. It just kind of keeps climbing and climbing for Herbert, and you can throw on Cleveland. I know that they've got a great rush defense, but Herbert has both of his tackles back, and I think he's a certainly a plug and play. Just of note to Anthony Richardson, for those of you who may not keep too much of an eye on the NFL, he has been benched, as Lyle said. I like Joe Flacco too, but Richardson is almost, he's probably droppable at this point. I don't think the Colts are going to bring him back out. How about running backs, Lyle?
Yeah, this is rough. I deal with this on a regular basis in my leagues, trying to find running backs to play, and it is slim pickings out there if you're trying to find a guy that's going to probably get more than 10 touches this week. But if I was going to take a dart throw on somebody this week, I think it would have to be, oh boy, Tajay Spears, perhaps, for Tennessee. Yeah. He's returning from an ankle injury. I think he could get enough play to be maybe a desperate flex option for you this week.
Jack.
Yeah, desperate flex. This is real desperate flex. I think maybe Miles Sanders in a PPR. I like him to maybe get 9, 10 fantasy points, and that's going to be a lot better than some of my running backs. But I'll also tell you, Isaac Grando is still only owned in like 8% of leagues. And, I mean, he just had 18 fantasy points last week. Christian McCaffrey is coming off of an injury that most people can't even explain. Jordan Mason's shoulder's been banged up. I don't know why someone wouldn't want what could potentially be the number one running back in San Francisco. You know, he should be rostered. I don't know how he's not rostered.
Justin.
Oh, man. Yeah, trying to find a name that you might actually be able to find on your waiver wire. The first one I'll give you is Tyler Allgeier for Atlanta. He's available in over 50% of leagues. He still gets carries. And I agree with Jack. Bijan goes off, he can get a little extra work. And if you just kind of look at, and listen, it's ridiculous predictive math that I'm trying to pull here, but it's about every third game, coincidentally, Allgeier has double-digit points. And that's kind of where we're at this week. So I'll give you his name. And then a little bit longer play, Jaleel McLaughlin for Denver and Kamani Vidal for the LA Chargers. Or maybe if you got a spot with all the injuries you've had on your bench, maybe stash one of these guys if you're just trying to find a running back that might turn into something before the year ends.
My guy's a stash guy too, and it's Keaton Mitchell, who was a full participant in practice this week. And everything's open for him. He'll be behind Derrick Henry, of course, but they are giving Henry, he's like a one injury away guy. And he had some flashes last year. Yes, it's a pretty catastrophic injury he had, and that doesn't always fare well right away. But a pickup and stash guy on a pretty good offense in Baltimore is Keaton Mitchell. He's available in 96% of leagues. How about wide receivers, Jack?
Yeah, John. So I'm going to give you Adam Thielen, and I'm going to talk about Keaton Mitchell too. So what I've been doing, and I've already done it in all the leagues I'm in with you guys, so I don't mind sharing. I'm sure you guys know, but Like, I'll pick up a Keaton Mitchell, put him on the, you know, because I can get him in the IR, and then go and pick somebody else up with that open bench spot. So, like, I had to dump an extra defense. I picked up Adam Thielen because he's going to be coming back soon, put him on the IR spot, and then I was still able to go out and add somebody else to the bench. So, basically, I've been drafting into my IR spots on my team in hopes that one of these, you know, lottery tickets is going to pay off. So, with that being said, I would pick up Adam Thielen and get him on your roster at least. Someone that you could play this week, though, there's going to be other ones that are given out, so I'll give you Watson, Christian Watson out in Green Bay. He's gotten double-digit points a couple times this year. They're going up against Detroit, then they have a bye. But I like this to be a shootout matchup. I think whether it's Willis, I don't think Malik Willis takes the team back that far. I think he plays really well. So I think Christian Watson could be good for a flex wide receiver. I'm pretty sure I've got to start him in the Loon League. He's like a WR1 on my team. Your team, flex or a bench play?
Justin, wide receivers.
Thielen's also on my list. I think everything I'm seeing is that he is going to play this week. For obvious reasons, Carolina receivers are available. You can go get him or Xavier Leggett, very likely both available on your waiver wire. The only other name I'll give you.
I don't mind Coker either, JJ.
What's that?
I don't mind Coker either if you're throwing a dart.
Yeah, I mean,
Carolina, I mean, if you're throwing a dart, he's just as good as any of them.
Yeah, for this week, though, if you're looking for a player this week, I would play Thielen or Leggett if you need a spot starter this week. Otherwise, Quentin Johnston. John talked a little bit earlier about how Herbert's throwing the ball more. I think everyone's kind of seen that. And McConkey, make no doubt about it, is the man. But Quentin Johnston, you know, he's had a couple nice games here, and they're going to have a second receiver if they really are going to have a little more balance between pass and run. And he's available in 80% of leagues as well.
Wow, wide receivers.
A couple guys. I like what you guys already talked about. I like Leggett a lot. Cedric Tillman, again, this will be the last chance to really get him. He's at 45% owned right now. It went up 30-some percent this week, his ownership. So make sure you get in on that. And then I would also take a peek at maybe some guys like maybe even Ray McLeod for the Atlanta Falcons, Jack's Atlanta Falcons. He's actually been targeted quite a bit in this offense. So if you're looking for a 1 week situation to plug and play a receiver, Ray McLeod.
All this talk about Xavier Leggett, I would encourage you to watch the video of him trying to say the word asparagus. Just throwing that out there. My guy, if you guys picked great names too, the only other guy I see on here is Parker Washington from Jacksonville. He's going to step into Christian Kirk's role. He's just going to step in and do it. Will it be well? I don't know, but he's going to get targets. He's going to get you. He's a desperate flex play, and he's available. He's available in 97% of leagues. Probably not the Loon League, though.
And they're in such a negative game script all the time. They got to throw the ball.
Always garbage time in Jacksonville. It's exactly right. Yep. We got to do tight ends quick, so let's kick it off with you, Justin.
Dalton Schultz or Cole Kmet, both available in 50 to 40% of leagues.
Lyle.
This week, and I'm doing it in the Loon League, Jonnu Smith for Miami. They're starting to throw him the ball, and Tua's healthy, so get him in there.
Jack.
Hunter Henry, Taysom Hill, 41% owned and 21% owned, so they are available.
Yeah, I was going to go Taysom Hill as well. Shahid's gone. He's still a Swiss Army knife, and the Saints are going to need him. You just got to be able to deal with it. It's like a Jameis game. It's either going to be 0 or 36 points. You just don't know what you're going to get out of him. Okay, time for Trenchum and Benchum. We'll talk about the remaining games for Week 9. It's the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. Fantasy Football Foursome here on the Loon. If you missed any part of today's show, it's online at 941theloon.com or that free 941 The Loon app. You can listen to it in its entirety. And it's time for Trenchum and Benchum for Week 9. Only two teams on by this week, and that would be Pittsburgh and San Francisco. Jack, noon games kick off with Dallas and your Falcons.
Yeah, it's one of those times each year where everyone gets to be a Falcons fan, so... we've got Dallas coming to Atlanta. CeeDee Lamb putting him in the trenches. Man, he got so wide open last week. I don't know how they kept blowing that coverage. He's going to be covered a lot better in Atlanta, but he's still going to get his targets. Ferguson and tight end mandatory. I'm good with that. Dak Prescott. We've got some super flex leagues and things like that where I've got Dak Prescott in because Russell Wilson is on a bye week or whatever. But other than that, I think you've got better options in Dak Prescott. He's just not been a great fantasy quarterback. You could trench him if he's how you've been winning and been rolling. But I like guys like Joe Flacco and like that better this week. Rico Dowdle, running back Ezekiel Elliott as a super duper low end sexy flexy. If you have a roster like mine and you have no other options, Cowboys defense is on the bench. Onto the Atlanta side of the ball. I'm pretty much starting everybody, as you might figure. Kirk Cousins is going to be in there. My QB1, Bijan, Drake, Kyle Pitts, Darnell Mooney as a WR1, you heard that right. Tyler Algier, sexy flexy. Ray McLeod, sexy flexy. I would start the Falcons defense this week confidently if that's something you feel like you want to do. I like Atlanta to win, but I also like Atlanta to make Dallas look like an actual football team like we tend to do to other teams, but we'll still win.
Atlanta favored by 3 points. Lyle, Denver, Baltimore.
Yeah, we're just talking about this Denver team off air, and they're quietly 5-3, mostly because Bo Nix is not turning the ball over. He's, at this point, maybe a top 12 quarterback. I don't have him in any league, so I'm not going to be having to make any decisions with him, but you could do worse than a Bo Nix quarterback play this week. Javonte Williams is warming up. I think he's, knowing the current situation with running backs, I think he's a safe RB2 at this point. And then you got Cortland Sutton, who's been a little up and down this year, just coming off one of his better games. I think you got to play Cortland Sutton. He's at least a wide receiver 3 or sexy flexy this week. I don't think I have any other Broncos in the trenches, though. As for Baltimore, you're playing Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. They're just lighting things up. You're going to put them in the trenches each and every week. Zay Flowers is a wide receiver 2. I know he's been a little inconsistent at times, but I think he's still got to keep playing him. Quietly, Rashad Bateman is a top 36 wide receiver. That generally means you can play him, and I think he's still a safe, sexy flexi. I'm not so sure how they're going to work Deontay Johnson into this offense yet. I think, though, he gets a sexy flexi grade this week. And I still am going to play Mark Andrews. I know it's been not enough volume necessarily, but he's starting to find the end zone, and he's at least getting those 4 or 5 targets a week. I think you can play him in a tight end mandatory as well.
I'm Baltimore favored by 9.5. I'm worried about Deontay Johnson to Baltimore, to be honest with you. I'm concerned he's going to turn into somebody who's droppable. Justin, up next, Miami-Buffalo, big matchup.
Well, let me ease a little of your concern. I think Bateman is actually the guy that becomes droppable, and they settle into Deontay, Zay Flowers, and Mark Andrews here in the second half of the season with Derrick Henry playing just enough to make sure they win. Okay, Miami at Buffalo. Buffalo is favored in this game. They're the home team. They're the better team. They have the better record. I think they're favored by 6, which is a solid spread. But I'm looking at over-under. We're looking right around 49 points, which means we're expecting a high-scoring game. So let's get them all in there. For the Miami Dolphins, A-Chain, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Raheem Mostert, if you have not a lot of depth, he is the goal line guy in this game, and he's looked a little bit better each game. And that's it. Take a flyer on Jonnu Smith if you need a tight end, because other than like 3 guys, it's pretty much a crapshoot anyway at the tight end position, even the ones, you know, that have done okay this season. I'm not trenching Tua. I think after this week, you can set him in your lineup and leave him there for a while. They've got the Rams, the Raiders, the Patriots, and the Packers after this week. That's a nice run of games. I think they really – that's their chance to get into a rhythm. So I'm going to hold off on Tua this week. On to the Buffalo side of the ball. Miami has played 2 upper-level quarterbacks this season, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, and they both torched them. So I'm getting Josh Allen in my lineup. James Cook. Because of that, Amari Cooper is in there. If he plays, keep an eye on that. And then flip a coin, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman. One or both may have a decent game, so they'll get a wide receiver 3 rank from me, put him in a flex spot. I don't mind playing that Buffalo defense. They know Miami. They beat them every time they play, so they've got an idea on how to contain Tyreek, I think. And Dalton Kincaid, because he's a tight end. I will throw him in there as well. And I will take Buffalo in the points in this one, believe it or not.
Buffalo favored by 5.5. I get the barn burner game that I've been talking about in other segments, and that would be New Orleans taking on Carolina. Well, New Orleans, don't overthink this. I'm starting Derek Carr over a lot of quarterbacks this week, including Mahomes and a lot of these other guys. And that is because Carolina's defense is so bad, historically bad. So you're starting Carr, you're starting Kamara, you're starting Olave. And I think that's it. Maybe a Taysom Hill, if you're desperate like me and have just been playing tight end roulette all season long. I think that's as far as it goes for me. Bub Means, like I talked about in the injury report, he was a hot pickup, but I don't know if he's going to be healthy. I think Derek Carr is going to just kind of stay with the guys he knows. I love the Saints defense this week as well, and that's because we can kind of be quick here with Carolina. Bryce Young under center. Deontay Johnson gone. I think it's going to be play the young guys for the rest of the year and see what you've got. They're going to have to throw the ball, but that isn't a good thing when it's Bryce Young throwing the ball. But if you need to take a flex on Xavier Leggett or Jalen Coker, I'm not going to yell at you. Chuba Hubbard is probably an RB2 for the rest of this year or a flex play, and that's the end of that nonsense. New Orleans favored by 7 points on the road. I feel like they're going to win by a lot more than that. Jack, Raiders, Cincinnati.
Yeah, we can make this one quick too, John. On the Raiders side of the ball, Brock Bowers is in the trenches, even as a sexy flexy. You don't have to be tight end mandatory to get this guy in your leagues, averaging 8 targets a game. Alexander Mattison is an RB2. Unless you have my squad, he's probably an RB1, maybe the team captain. I don't know. We might already be buying him like a float for the parade. That's it. I'm not starting anyone else in Vegas. I just don't see the upside. On the Cincinnati side of the ball, Bengals defense projected to do well. If you have a league with defenses, I think you can start them this week. But Joe Burrow is a QB1. Jameer Chase, T. Higgins, if healthy at all, he's at least a sexy flex, if not a WR1 or 2. If he had full health, I think you could throw him in as a WR1. Chase Brown, Zach Moss, flip a coin. They're both just as good, so they're RB2, sexy flexy RBs. But they're definitely offensive options that you got to have. Tight end mandatory, you could go Gesicki, but I don't see that they'll need to lean on the tight ends much in this matchup. I think Cincinnati wins this game by a lot, and I think it's a statement game. I think they cover. I would bet the house that they win this game.
Chance of rain in the forecast, Cincinnati favored by 7.5 points. Lyle, you get the Chargers versus the Browns.
Lots of fantasy plays here. Two teams are actually putting up some points of late. Got the Chargers with Justin Herbert. I know we talked that they are starting to throw the ball a bit more, but he's still quarterback 23 on the year, and he's only topped 20 fantasy points one time this season, so I think he still is on the bench for me. J.K. Dobbins is definitely a volume play. They're still getting him the ball 15 to 20 times a game, so I think he's a safe RB2. Looks like Ladd McConkey he had a huge week, 2 touchdowns and 30-some fantasy points last week in PPR, so I think he's still a top 36-ish receiver, so I think he's safely a wide receiver 3 or a sexy flexy. I'm not going to play Quentin Johnson. It looks like he's coming back from an ankle injury. I think he's still on the bench for me. And if you're in a tight end mandatory and in a pinch, maybe you got a George Kittle bye week or something, maybe a little Will Disley to the rescue for you. He's definitely been a target of late, and I think he could be a top 12 option for you this week. As for the Browns, they've moved on to Jameis Winston. It's certainly boosted a lot of people's fantasy value. I think he's more of a DFS play than a standard fantasy football league play this week for you, but maybe certainly roster him or could use him as a backup this week. Nick Chubb is starting to get more work. I think he was up to 16 carries last week. I expect him to be an RB2 the rest of the way at the very least. Cedric Tillman, volume is right there. I think you got to play him. I think he's a wide receiver 3, maybe even a wide receiver 2 the rest of the way. I like him more than Jerry Jeudy, who I still think would belong on the bench for me. David Njoku is thriving now that Jameis Winston is the quarterback. I know he's battling a little bit of an ankle injury, but if he suits up, he is a must-start at tight end. And I'm probably going to keep both of these defenses on the bench.
Chance of rain in the forecast. Chargers favored by 1.5. Justin, Washington and the Giants.
Oh, yeah. This is an interesting game. Another division matchup. Washington looks like they want to run away with it. Philly's getting hot as of late, which, by the way, they still haven't played. They play two times this season yet, Washington and Philly. Should be good. All right. Jaden Daniels, he's obviously in the trenches, having a crazy rookie year. Keep an eye, you know, on the rib injury and everything. He's always got a questionable next to him, but I'm sure he plays this week. Brian Robinson Jr., a little more in danger of not playing this week, so keep an eye on that. If he does, he's in the trenches. If he is out, Austin Eckler is a plug-and-play in his spot. He's had a solid year so far. Eckler has, even with Robinson having a career year. Eckler's gotten double-digit points in most of his games, so he's a safe substitution if Robinson is out. Terry McLaurin, number 8 wide receiver in fantasy football this year. All he does is score double-digit points week after week after week. In fact, every single week except for the first two. Since week 3, it's been double-digit points week after week. And then Zach Ertz, who is very similar. He's second on the team in targets. Terry McLaurin is the only player who has more targets than him. And third place isn't even close. Ertz has got 45 targets on the season. The next closest player is a receiver with 25 or 27. So I'm absolutely getting Zach Ertz in there at tight end. And he has had double-digit points in 3 straight games as well this season. And that's it on the Washington side of the ball. You know, I got no problem rolling that defense out. I mean, there's nothing special about it, but they do there's a little ball hack to them or ball hawk to them in the last couple weeks. But it's probably safe against the Giants. You know what? Disregard. Don't play him. There's a real possibility of a trap game here, and the Giants just getting lucky. All right, on to the Giants side of the ball. Ugh. All right, Malik Nabers, Tyrone Tracy, if he plays. If Tracy doesn't play, you can throw Singletary in there, and that's it. I got nobody else I am trenching in this game because I'm not that confident Washington has a letdown after the big Hail Mary.
Washington favored by 3.5 points. Another barn burner I get to break down is New England taking on Tennessee. We would have a far more interesting discussion about our favorite color than we would talking about any of the New England Patriots. And that is the end of that discussion. So we'll move on to Tennessee, which is not much better, but at least there's some startable players over there. Pollard is injured. If Pollard is injured, you can plug Tajay Spears in, maybe as an RB2, probably as a flex. If Pollard is going to play, then he's the RB2 or the flex, and I don't like Spears at all. Ridley had a nice game last week. All of a sudden, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine has turned into a thing, but I'm not ready to tell you to put him out on the field. That's it. That's more than enough time to break down this game. Tennessee favored by 3.5 points. Jack, back to you for the late afternoon game, Chicago-Arizona.
Yeah, well, you heard me dissing Williams earlier, and I'm going to continue it. The guys only scored more than 20 fantasy points against Jacksonville and Carolina. He scored single-digit points twice. He scored 10 last week against Washington. I don't see how he does a whole lot better against Arizona. That being said, if it's me and my fantasy team, I just can't afford a 10-point quarterback. He's going on the bench. DeAndre Swift, I'm putting him in the trenches for sure. Tight end mandatory, maybe Cole Kmet. And that Bears defense has been strong, but I did just drop them. Again, I looked at some of their matchups. I dropped them in favor of the Chargers, so and I don't think that'll be one that I regret. That's it on the Chicago side of the ball. Arizona side of the ball, Kyler Murray. So he's ranked top 10, but the dude scrambles so much. He breaks down so quick and starts looking to run before he throws the ball. I mean, the Bears defense doesn't allow that very much. They're really good against running quarterbacks. I think you could still safely put him in the trenches. I like him better than Caleb Williams, but he's on the outskirts. James Conner, I've got him in the trench. Harrison's in the trench. McBride in the tight end spots. Wilson hasn't shown me enough to be in the trenches weekly yet. If I had to pick a defense, honestly, I'd pick the Cardinals over the Bears if I absolutely had to. But it's really just the running backs and maybe one receiving option in these games that I like. I don't like that either of these quarterbacks, they go through their progressions in about 0.5 seconds and then take off scrambling. So we'll see who can stay healthy and upright. But I like Arizona to win the game.
Arizona favored by 1.5. Lyle, Jacksonville, Philadelphia.
Jacksonville is just kind of beat up right now at this point. This makes picking how they're going to play this week. Very tricky. Trevor Lawrence is quarterback 15 for the season. With the injuries they've got right now and the situation they're dealing with, I think I'd keep Lawrence on the bench this week. Travis Etienne's still dealing with a hamstring injury. He hasn't played since week 6. At this point, I think you got to keep him on the bench. I mean, certainly you could make it a game-time decision and slide him into your flex spot if he does suit up, but I think that's the best-case situation for Etienne this week. As for Tank Bigsby, he also is questionable with an ankle injury. I'm a little more confident that he's going to play, and when he has played, he's been very productive. He's basically averaged 16 carries, 75 yards, and a touchdown the last 4 weeks. If he suits up, I think he's an RB2 for you. Evan Ingram, he's returned from injury and had three pretty good fantasy weeks for you. So if you're in a tight end mandatory, you're definitely playing him. He might even be a flex option for you in deeper leagues. So suit him up as well. But that's where it gets dicey. The receiver situation, normally I'd play Brian Thomas Jr., but I think he's trending towards not playing this week. Mm-hmm. Again, check things out Sunday morning before you put these guys in your lineup. But I think at this point, Thomas is going to be on the bench. I know Christian Kirk just got hurt, so he's out for the rest of the year. And I don't know if I want to play Gabe Davis or Parker Washington at this point. So those guys are on the bench. As for Philadelphia, it's a pretty simple fantasy formula here. You're playing Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown. They're must-starts each and every week. And then Devonta Smith, had a nice catch and is starting to turn around his fantasy season. I think he's safe RB or a wide receiver 2 or a flex. I think Goddard is still going to be out, and so I think that means all Philly tight ends belong on your bench. And I will play that Philadelphia defense this week against Jacksonville.
Philadelphia favored by 7.5, and that is going to do it for the radio version of the Fantasy Football Foursome. We're going to move over to the app for the remaining 4 games. If you missed any part of today's show, get that app or grab that or go to 941theloon.com. And we've got the show in its entirety on there. Of course, we want to thank our producer, Nate Thomas. And for Jack, Justin, and Lyle, my name is John Jennings. We'll see you next Saturday on the radio, but we'll just see you in a minute over on the free 94.1 The Loon app, and we will do overtime and break down the remaining 4 games for Trenchum and Bencham. Thanks for joining us on The Loon.